Blog Talk Radio.
Gloria, in me, do you love it in me?
Facebook or Instagram, and I can mail it out to you. Amen. show we're going to be finishing up today, God. Woohoo! Let me tell you, the last chapter was back to my father's house. And it's amazing because we went through all the chapters of being broken. Then we talked about who she was. We talked to the little girl in me. And it's amazing because I'm not being biased, but one of the when God started turning me around, when I went through my brokenness, and then I went through who she was, you know, who was I again? But before that, it was a little girl in me. And it's amazing how when you're young, you can actually dream about how your life is going to pan out. Oh, what's going to happen? And you're going to do this and you're going to do that. And when your life makes a shift and it goes into a different time or make a different turn, we get upset and we be all in our hands like, what happened? But the thing about it is that even if it felt like a boomerang was thrown into your whole situation or monkey wrench, don't you know you have the power to turn that thing around when you pray to the Lord Jesus Christ? He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. If God is for you, who can be against you? You got to take that thing by the horn and you got to go up. And like, we make mistakes and we stumble, we fall. And God, our plans are sometimes our plans are not the plans that God has for us, but if he do a shift within our life, don't you know that he's shifting around for our good, and he will make every crooked path straight, and he will make sure that he will light the oil within inside of us. Hallelujah. Lord, glory be to God. So just hold on. And even in the midst of some of us have lost loved ones, but just ask God to help you, to heal you, to fill that void on the inside of you. You know, even in the midst of losing my dad, or always me and my sisters and my mom, we reflect back on of good times with my father. He was so hilarious. Every time we would cry, we'd think of something funny and something funny that he said. So I bless God for the years God allowed me to be with my dad before he went on home. So I do bless God because, you know, when I think about him, I know that he will want my mom, he will want my sisters to be happy. Hallelujah. Plus, he was saved, and I know he is like, I don't want to come back down here. Amen. So we're going to get started. I have my mom on the other end. But before I bring her in, there's one of the scriptures that really, part of the scripture that was in my book, and it was Exodus 17:11, and the word of the Lord reads, as long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning, but whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. Ooh, isn't that something? The Amalekites were winning when he lowered his hands. And it's something because when God gave me that, he let me realize as long as God, they had a Moses' hand raised, they were winning. But when his hand lowered, I guess he thought that he didn't have any more strength. So when you raise your hands, you raise it to God. God, help me. And then they began to win the battle. But every time he raised his hand, hallelujah, he would win. But when he lowered, the Amalekites would win. But let me tell you, they didn't win. God got the power. So God is going to fight that situation no matter what it is. But even in the midst of me reading this book, Shattered But Not Broken, sometimes people are like, our lives are so shattered. There's no way that God can mend broken pieces back together again. But it's something because we know that he can. But when we don't see it changing and we don't see the shift, we get all messed up. We completely messed up. But it's something because I know God has the power to do anything. But what happens when that situation don't change? You have to change in the midst of that situation. Amen. So one thing I always throw out there, maybe it's a disclaimer, I don't know. I love marriages. Marriages is a good thing. God ordained it and it's beautiful. But just because sometimes the mate that we choose, whether it's a woman or whether it's a man, you know, if it's any men on our call, you may choose the wrong woman or we may choose the wrong man because we didn't pray and ask God. It's okay because God turns situations around. I love marriage. I know it's a good thing. I didn't come out so messed up. I was messed up. But what the key was to ask God to heal me from my bitterness, heal me from my anger, so I can be able to forgive and I can be able to move on. And even though it was a process because see, my key was taught me almost every day, even when I did leave, but God. But I asked God to heal me so I can move on. Heal me so I can have a forgive him so I won't be that bitter woman. Now, do I understand a bitter woman? Oh, yeah, I do. I understand that woman that say, I'm done with relationships. I'm done with even friendships. Sometimes you can have a girlfriend and you're done with all friends, all kind of friends. So you isolate yourself. You guard it. You don't allow relationships, because of people who we trusted, people who violated us, people who supposed to love us and embrace us and tore us down. So now I don't have no friends. Now I don't even say you want to go out and grab a bite to eat, because no, you ain't going with me because my guard is so high. Got to be honest and transparent, I was there too. And I know that folks who know me on here like, oh, my God, Winnie's so guarded. Yeah, maybe. Mm-hmm. My daddy did a real good job doing that, because everybody that he was just like, my dad was like, everybody that would come to my house and when I was younger, oh, Dad, this is so-and-so. And he was like, oh, hey, baby, how you doing? When they walk away, he'd be like, keep your eye on that one. I'm like, oh, my God, every friend that. So I'm saying, so I know I'm a little guarded, but now I have overcome that, and I'm working on it, because one thing I realized is that if you don't make relationships, I said you got to have folks sitting at your dining room table every day, but when you don't make relationships, how are you supposed to prosper? How are you supposed to move when you're so guarded? I mean, give me an example, and then we're going to move on. I went to, and I know Sister Terry, she knows all about the arts and the entertainment world, but I didn't get a chance to share with her, but right before the COVID hit, I went to DMV, Delaware, Maryland, and Delaware, Maryland, and Virginia, DMV, TV, and Film Summit. Now, I stepped out of the box on this. I stepped out of the box on it, and I did something different in my life. And my sister, Nikki, said to me, why do you keep saying that your book will never be in a movie? Stop saying that. But I was putting my own stuff in the box. But I stepped out of faith, because you know when you just feel that urge to see something on the inside of you just telling you to go, telling you to go. So I paid my money, got on, hopped on the train, stayed the whole weekend by myself, and I had a ball. But from that very moment, I realized that I'm not guarded how I used to be. Hope Victoria can't grow. Your ministry can't grow. You yourself can't grow when you stay so guarded, when you don't let nobody in. Now, I'm not saying trust the whole world, but you got to pray and ask God, these new folks that's coming in your life, Father, are they of you or not? Let me tell you, every last person I was almost seeing in line with before we went into the sessions, I'm like, God, I want to share, but what do you think about this person? Bam, 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 he was answering it. Yes, 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 yes. No, no, yes, yes. Well, I didn't get any no's, because let me tell you, I heard Bishop Jay say, if you just in the room, hallelujah, and you just in the room. So God is so good, because I met Larissa Bates from, she's a content creator, producer at BET, and God is so awesome, but because I let my guard down, because I said, God, Lord, use me for your glory. And the thing about it is that when we are Christians, and I had to get over that, because when we are Christians, we feel like, oh, my God, we can't have no business. Oh, my God, we can't have a cleaning service. We can't have hair products. Oh, I can't do stuff for the arts. I can't act. I can't do this. I can't do that. Why not? Why not? And some of the people who were there said, let me tell you something. The virtuous woman was an entrepreneur. She was a businesswoman. How about Lydia in the Bible? How she sold purple fabric, and she got saved by Paul's teaching. Hallelujah. She was a businesswoman. Who says that we can't be businesswomen because we saved? That's ridiculous. God is the one who gives wealth, but we bust ourselves up. To be transparent with you, I was there 3 months ago before I went. How can I come up with this? How can I do that? It's not biblical. But my spiritual mother, Reverend Moore, said, it don't matter. Now, you know Jesus don't work like that. And it's amazing because I can cut other folk back, but when it came down to me, I'm holding my own self back. I said, I ain't holding myself back no more. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So I went to DMV Film TV and Film Summit. I met all kind of people there. And I was able to, last time, I had a one-on-one with Larissa Bates from BET. I'm just pitching my ideas, pitching my project. God is amazing. Why? Because I took a chance. Why? Because I stepped out and God lined everything up for me. Hallelujah. It didn't take nothing for my salvation. But see, we keep our own stuff boxed in. We keep our own stuff pigeonholed. Folk ain't got to do it. We do a good job, our own selves. Amen? I've got delivered in this pandemic. You hear me? Because God, woo, Jesus, thank you. God is stretching us, stretching us, stretching us. I'm telling you, woo, God, glory to God. So I just want to tell you all what I stepped out with after this pandemic, okay? Amen. So I'm going to open up my line for my mama to come on. She's going to read a portion of my book, Back to My Father's House. Hallelujah. I hope that testimony was encouraging to somebody. Amen. Amen, Loli. Yes. Amen, Mom. That's right. Putting yourself in a box. And Lord have mercy. I was almost there putting myself in a complete box. Amen. Amen. Hi, Sandy. Hi, Reverend Tasha. Hi, Sandra's Renee. Hi, Susan. Hey, Ra. Hey, Rasheed. Hey, Reverend Adrian. Amen. So I am there, y'all. I am there. I am so delivered from that. I'm telling you, delivered. Amen. Oh, hey, Debbie, and hey, Evangelist Bella. Amen. So my mama is going to come in now. Amen. Hi, Lisa. Amen. My daughter reading the names for me. That's why I came on. Just want to say hello to you all. Okay, I'm going to bring my mom in. Woo, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Mom.
Amen.
Amen.
Good afternoon.
Hold on.
Amen.
Hey, good afternoon.
Okay.
Before you come in, so those are the things that, you know, our hope chest that we talked about, that we put things in our hope chest. It can be our pocketbooks, it can be our pockets, our envelope, our drawer. Just stepping out of some things. I know, like, Debbie is stepping out of some things where she has a workout called Chin Up. She's an exercise instructor, workout instructor. I know I may be pronouncing it wrong, Des. I'm not in that world, but I do join her workouts. But she's a workout instructor, and she is phenomenal. Put your information in, Debbie, so people know how and what days that we can join in. And she is a beast, I tell you. So I bless God for her and stepping out. Amen. But she could have been at the same place. I ain't stepping out because is it God behind it? Yeah, God is behind it. He told us to what? Huh? What he talks about our temple. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So I'm just saying, just stepping out of our comfort zones on today, yeah. Just stepping out. Hallelujah. Amen. So, Mom, I'm ready for it, honey. Hallelujah.
Amen. We're on page 51, Back to My Father's House. The scripture is Luke 15:20, and it says, "And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, ran and fell on his neck and kissed him." Luke 15:20. Exodus 17:11. As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. Exodus 17:11, Amalekites. Raise your hand in the air, my spiritual leader said as he came down from the pulpit. He had his arms lifted and was motioning for me to do the same. I can't raise my arms, I said to him. I'm feeling sick, I responded. Stop confessing that you're sick, he shouted at me as he walked towards me. I couldn't believe that he wanted me to do this when I had just told him that I didn't feel well. I had never known my spiritual leader to be what I'd called insensitive, so this was unusual. But after all, this was a dream. One night I dreamed that we were at church. It looked like the old church where I grew up. There were a couple of members from my childhood in the dream. I was sitting with my children and my sisters. As my spiritual leader came down from the pulpit, he was holding up his arms and he told me to raise my arms. I told him I couldn't while raising them because I was feeling sick. I had this dream during a time in my life that I was feeling sick quite a bit. It was my reality. In the dream, my spiritual leader repeatedly told me to stop confessing sickness and to keep my arms raised. It hurt to raise my arms, so I wanted to cry out from the pain. But my spiritual leader kept pushing my arms up higher and higher. He could see from my facial expression that I was in pain, but he just continued smiling and pushing up my arms. At the time, the dream confused me, but as I looked back, I understood my dream. The Lord used my spiritual leader in the dream. It was a message that described my weariness. At the time, I was extremely tired and felt defeated. God was trying to let me know that victory was mine as long as I acknowledged him. Raising my arms symbolized that he was going to help me overcome my situation. As the dream continued, I knew God was teaching me, and I decided to listen and learn. Why are you afraid and haven't left? How many times do I have to tell you not to be afraid, he said. But I was afraid. So much had happened to upset my world. After so much of disappointment, how was I supposed to keep my arms lifted and still look up? I remembered watching Christian television, and it gave numerous confirmations to my dream, and the message was not being afraid. I believe this was God speaking through my spiritual leader in my dream. I remember feeling peaceful in my dream. I looked out the window of the church and could see clearly that God was there. I could feel his presence shining through in the sunlight as it touched me. It was round, bright, and close to me, much like sunlight. Yeah. It reminded me of how God was protecting me and how strong his presence was in my life at that time. Psalm 32:7, you are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. I prayed for deliverance from my husband. I felt like a prisoner in a place that was supposed to be my home. Often I would be so hesitant about going downstairs to get food or even a snack because he would make me feel so bad and scrutinize what I ate and humiliate me with harsh words. I bought that food. I can't stand to see you when I eat, and guess what? I don't like you eating food I bought. When my husband would see me coming down the stairs, he would put his hand over his head. He made me feel like I was such a burden to him. He let me know that he couldn't stand to see me come around him and eat the food that he purchased. I knew this because he would say it repeatedly. So I usually waited for him to leave the kitchen or go to bed before I would go downstairs and get something to eat or drink. There were many times when he would use his hand to cover his face on whatever side that I was sitting so he didn't have to look at me while eating at the dinner table. Can you imagine someone making you feel like you was so disgusting that it turns their stomach and they can't eat while looking at you? Looking back, I realized that it took a lot of nerve for him to do that and a lot of courage for me to sit through it. I allowed him to degrade me, and I continued to stand on the knowledge of who God said I was, child of the King. I believed that, and even his behavior could not change that. I need to talk to you, I said.
I told you right there, Mom.
Okay.
I wanted to go back a little bit. Also, before I forget, Reverend Tasha has a book out called Free. That book is awesome. I'm in, like, the beginning of it, but it is awesome. Tasha, Reverend Tasha, you can put your information in where they can purchase your book. But I wanted to also say to you all, that portion right there, it don't have to be, even though mine was based on my marriage, your situation of being shattered don't have to be because of a relationship. It could be because of, you know, life. It could be because of, you know, how you feel about yourself. It could be because of a parent or a loved one or a close friend of yours or even your children making you feel like that. Amen. So it don't have to be a relationship between a woman and a man. It could be anything, whatever life has thrown you where it felt like your life was so shattered. And for people to make you feel like the oppressor, sometimes your own boss or your job can make you feel like that. So I just want to go back and just reiterate something my mother had said that I had to sit through because my husband at the time, ex-husband, did not want me. He acted like I was so disgusting. So the food that I prepared from the food that I made, he would sit at the table and hold his hand over his face so he couldn't look at me like he was going to throw up to look at me and eat. But let me tell you something. Isn't that crazy? Imagine somebody doing it to you, and I know it don't have to be because relation. It could be a girlfriend or your friend at school, or it could be a coworker, or it could be people in the neighborhood, or you could be on the bus, and people may look, put their nose down at you, making you feel like, you know, you're less than nothing or you're nothing. People in the community, you know what I'm saying? So it don't have to be of a loved one that you even know, because sometimes when you walk into a building, folk can make you feel like you don't fit. Oh, you don't belong here. When I went to DMV TV and Film Summit, I could have felt like that, but I did not. I was with screenwriters, producers, people just came off a tour. But guess what? I knew who I was. And like I said in my book, why? Because I'm a child of the King. You are a child of the King. Hallelujah. Don't let nobody dumb me down who you are in life. Don't let nobody make you feel like you're nothing. Don't make them, because God said we want to be a family thing. We were made in the creation of God, in the image and the likeness of God. God didn't make no junk, y'all. He didn't make no junk. You have to know who you are and hold on tight to that thing. But at the time, everything about me was falling. Everything about me was crawling on the inside. That's, I've been, my second book is due to come out soon. Hallelujah. I'm excited about it. But I'm going to tell y'all something. Hold on to your self-worth. Because sometimes, even when we were little, somebody may have said something to you to make you feel like you didn't fit in with your siblings. Or they favored your cousins but didn't favor you. Or maybe you were too light or you were too dark. Maybe you were too heavy or you were too skinny. Whatever it may have been, they made you feel like you wasn't nothing. Was degraded you. But let me tell you, when Jesus sent his disciples away, when that Samaritan woman was around, he knew what he was doing because, see, he knew that that woman needed him, and he knew that she needed to be healed. And, see, there would have been a distraction if his disciples was there because they understand, how are you mingling with a Samaritan? He's mingling with, see, that's why the certain women in Luke 8, certain women, they love Jesus because they gave them their own substance, because he broke those barriers of making women feel like they less than nothing or they nothing or degrade them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He loved us the same. Hallelujah. And I love Jesus for it, but I had to pick up my self-esteem and minister to my own self and say, what? I'm a king's kid. When I look at the mirror, I see the sun shining so bright. That sun is shining and reflecting on me and loving me. Hallelujah. You got to know who you are in a difficult time or a time where a person making you feel like everybody else at lunch is going to work. If everybody at work is going to lunch and you're not invited. What's different about you that you can't go? Hallelujah. What's different about me is that I'm a king's kid. It's okay if you don't want to be bothered with me. I know who I am. I know who I am. Don't think, stop saying that you're not good enough, because you are good enough. Sometimes when our mates look at other women, or even if a woman in a relationship look at another man, sometimes it causes to build up insecurities on the inside of ourselves, thinking, well, we're not good enough. Well, why are they looking at him, or why are they looking at her? Know who you are. They're the ones with the insecurities. But what I have learned, that people who dummy down you and people who degrade you really got insecurities. But I had to learn that they're the ones with the insecurities. But see, they feed off of that and they take the blinders off of themselves and start looking at you. And then they allow you to get off focus and start coming at you, and it really takes the focus off. And but when you take those blinders off, you're like, wait a minute, you're the one with the insecurities, not me. You are the one with the insecurities, not me. Hallelujah. So just know your oppressor, they're the ones with the insecurities, not you. But what they do is feed off of it so to take the focus off of them. You're the one who got all messed up in the head and all messed up in the mind. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah, amen, Janae. Yes, honey, amen. That's right. Amen, Reverend Tasha said they'd be more damaged than you. Amen, yes, and we don't know that because we're so busy allowing them to make us feel like we're nothing. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, Mom, you can continue, honey.
Amen. The talk. I need to talk to you, I said in a voice just above a whisper. The children were beginning to see how you treat me, and I believe it's making them feel uncomfortable. The children could see that their parents were not getting along. My son even asked me, was he going to be like his dad when he grew up? He let me know that he didn't like how his father was treating me. As I told my husband about my concerns, he started calling me names and yelling. But this time, the abuse didn't stop there. As I was talking, he jumped up and came near me with his fist balled up and threatened to hit me. I quickly grabbed the phone and told him I would call the cops if he got any closer. By this time, the commotion awakened our children. They were crying and afraid. He took our son in the bathroom and locked the door as I tried to open it. Don't marry the kind of woman I married. Make sure you get someone better than your mother. He was telling our son what type of woman he should not marry and discrediting me as a wife and mother. I could hear my son crying as his father spoke, and I felt helpless. I couldn't open the door, and my son was trapped with his father as he degraded me. The day after the commotion ended, our daughter, who was traumatized, started walking around for a couple of weeks saying to her father, "Daddy, don't you hit my mommy." He never answered or consoled her because of what she had seen and heard. I wondered to myself, what father wouldn't console his daughter to reassure her that he wouldn't hit her mother and that no man should ever put his hands on her? But he never acknowledged her words or her actions, or his actions. Shortly after this incident, I was really starting to grow weary, tired and very weary. It was very evident that my husband didn't want to be married. I think that it hurt as much to know that he didn't want to be married as much as the fact that he didn't care enough to put his feelings aside for the sake of our children. I asked myself, what type of role model was he to act this way? There were times when he walked around the house as if we didn't exist. He slept on another floor of the house to keep himself from us. His children had to watch all of this. Children should not have to watch discord between their parents. I really wanted to discuss how this was impacting our children, but he didn't seem to care. I was afraid to bring it up again because I believed that the next time he would really hit me. After the last conversation went sour, I knew to keep silent. Ezekiel 12:1-3. Ezekiel, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, thou dwellest in the midst of a rebellious house, which have eyes to see and see not. They have ears to hear and hear not, for they have a rebellious house. Therefore, thou son of man, prepare these stuff and remove it and remove by day in their sight. And thou shalt remove from the place to another place in their sight. It may be they will consider that though they be a rebellious house. Ezekiel 12:1-3. I began asking myself that, am I just passing through Egypt and not staying in the wilderness? I still continue to help others through missionary work. Giving of my time to others is one of the things that made me feel better and kept me sane. It helped to take the focus off of my own situation. 2 months before we left, the Lord gave me the scripture, Ezekiel 12:1-3. But I didn't stop there. I read the entire chapter, and it kept it dear to my heart. It gave me the ability to transition by God's grace. I finally decided to leave. On the last week that we were there, I woke up in the morning and went to bathe, and surprisingly, there was no hot water. Well, when my husband woke up, he went down to the basement, turned on the hot water for himself. As he bathed, he went back to the basement, turned it off, not leaving any hot water for myself and our children to bathe. My time was running out, and now my anxiety decided to attack me. Having having to see my little girl looking up at me while washing her hands in cold water and not understanding what was so painful. I stayed for a week after he turned off the hot water. I would boil water on the stove to give my children a bath while he continued to cut the hot water on only for himself, then cut it off after he used it. I would call him at work and beg him to come home and turn on the hot water for us, but he would only yell at me to wait until he's finished working. He still never turned it on when he came home. That treatment was my breaking point. I felt like I was forced to shift. Remembering the scriptures of the Lord gave me Ezekiel 12 in reference to the rebellious house and moving to another place. I knew I was able to transition by God's grace. Leaving in peace, I packed our bags, left, and went back to my father's house. When I was down and out at my wit's end, like the prodigal son, I went back to my father's house, both spiritually and physically. My spirituality was a thing of the past. I had allowed it to wither and die. I was so consumed with my marriage, or lack of thereof, that I took my focus off of my ministry. Corinthians 7:34b says, "But she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband." However, by taking my failing marriage to another level and allowing it to envelop my life, I lost everything. My spirituality, my joy, my strength, and my peace in the Lord. Everything had been stripped from me. I was naked and vulnerable. But when I went back to my father's house, the Lord began to restore everything that I had lost.
Yes.
There was a big feast of love, joy, peace, and strength. I'm sorry.
That's all right,
Mom. My children to die sufficiently. Three things happened when I went back to my father's house. I began to walk on the road to restoration. By one, feasting off of God's word. Two, worshiping and praying without ceasing. Three, reading and studying his word daily. These things, along with the support of my family and friends, gave me the strength I needed to overcome my bout with depression and regain my position as an evangelist. I could now go back to doing the Lord's work and give him his rightful place in my life. Then the scripture, Luke 15:24, "For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and found, and they began to be merry." I thought about the prodigal son when his father said, "For this my son was dead and alive again. He was lost and now found, and they began to be merry." Luke 15:24. God revealed to me that I was like that prodigal. I had been so lost. Now I was not only found, but I was alive again and going about my father's business. Praise God. I know that the Lord rejoiced along with his angels because I know that God had been hurting too. When one of his sheep goes astray, he grieves until that sheep is found and returned to the fold. My attitude changed from all of that wanting to step out and get married and not listen to God and his warnings of asking for all that I thought God wanted me to have and all that I thought belonged to me. My anointing, my faith, and all the fruit of the Spirit sustained me. I took my focus off of everything that I thought belonged to the old man and allowed it to die. When the Lord gave me the title back to my father's house, it was meant both spiritually and physically. The prodigal son lived his life outside of his father's rules and commandments, which made him lose himself and everything that his father had given to him prior to his leaving. I had become that person, the one who had left home with everything and came back without anything that my spiritual father had given to me. I didn't take care of it the way God wanted. I became a different person, someone who was looking for physical gratification, and in the process lost my spiritual health. Psalm 35, verse 5, "For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may stay for a night, but rejoicing comes in the morning." "Why are you crying?" my father asked. He really didn't understand my journey. He didn't know that I was so overjoyed to be back in a peaceful place after what I had experienced. Just like the prodigal son embraced his father when he went back home, I embraced my mom and wept. I told my father to just let me cry so that I could begin the healing process. My dad just wanted me to be strong like he raised me. I knew that I was still strong, but still needed to heal. If I hadn't learned anything else from all of the hurt, pain, disappointment, heartbreak, and depression, I've learned that healing is a process. I looked at it like sweeping the floor and putting the dirt under the rug, only to hide and ignore the hurt and pain. We just keep sweeping and saving them. The pile underneath the rug gets higher and higher. We just leave it and try to forget about it, out of sight, out of mind. We just walk around it and never deal with the pile. But eventually the pile is going to get too big to ignore, and eventually we have to. Oftentimes by then the pile is too big to deal with without a lot of built-up hurt and pain. But if it's dealt and daily and trash is thrown away, each time the floor is swept, it's much easier to control. Then healing can take place. I've learned to follow my emotions, and if I feel like crying, then that's what I'm going to do. Because one day, hallelujah, I will see daybreak. I thank God for forgiveness from his storehouse of grace. God forgave me, and I forgave my husband. Today we have a good rapport. Each other and our children sees the peace between us. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God restored everything that he gave to me before I left home. He gave me that and even more. Praise his holy name. There's one last scripture. No, it isn't the last scripture, but evening inspirations. It's Psalm 54, 1 through 7. Save me, O God, by thy name, and judge me by thy name, and judge me by thy strength. Hear my prayer, O God. Give ear to the words of my mouth, for strangers are risen up against me, and oppressors seek after my soul. They have not set God before them. Salah. Behold, God is my helper. The Lord is with them that uphold my soul. He shall reward evil unto mine enemies. Cut them off in thy truth. I will freely sacrifice unto thee. I will praise thy name, O Lord, for it is good. For he hath delivered me out of all trouble, and mine eye have seen his desire upon mine enemies. May Lord add blessings to the reading of his word. I have a couple of more pages when you want me to go on. Yes, one more page.
The end of the chapter?
And that says if you read this book, now realize that you need a change in life. I think we probably need to share this.
Okay, go ahead, Mom. Mm-hmm.
It won't take long to
Okay.
It says, if you have read this book and now realize that you need to change your life, the answer is found in the following prayer and verses of Scripture. All persons who live now are all those who lived in the past, and all who ever live in the future are now in need of a Savior. The Lord Jesus Christ came to earth so that we could have life and have that life more abundantly. Pray this prayer and you have his promise that he will become Lord of your life and give you the gift of eternal life. Lord Jesus, I confess that I am a sinner and I need a Savior. Please, Lord, forgive me for my sins. I believe that you died on the cross in Calvary where you shed your precious blood. I believe that on the third day you rose from the dead and you are now seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for me. Lord Jesus, please take control and become Lord of my life so that I can live with you all eternity. I thank you for the precious gift of salvation according to your holy word. Amen. Lord, have blessed reading and hearing of his word. And there's three more scriptures on the back side, which is the last page of the book. It's Romans 10:9. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And if you prayed that prayer for the first time, the angels in heaven are celebrating. They are throwing a heavenly party. in Jesus' name. Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. That's Luke 15:10. Please write and let us share in your joy of this newfound life in Jesus Christ. And it gives your information, Wanda, rejoicing@yahoo.com.
Amen. Amen. He's given us faith. You do feel for like about 5 or 6 days, and then bam, it's so like it took you back again. But don't you know the more steps you take, and it may throw you back, but one day it ain't going to throw you back. Woo, Jesus, hallelujah. You ain't going back. I'm talking back with your emotions, with your mindset. And it's something because God has given me this in Sam, but he was 1 Samuel 16. And if he and God kept asking Samuel, God kept asking Saul, why are you so man mourning? He saw asking Samuel, 1 Samuel 16. Why are you still mourning Saul? He asked Samuel, the priest, why are you still mourning Saul? And I couldn't understand why God and I bless you. I lift you up and give you the highest praise, Lord God. I thank you, God, for just being God all by yourself. All by yourself. In the name of Jesus, God. Lord, I glorify you. I praise your name, God. I praise your name, God. I praise your name, God. Hallelujah. For a time such as this, my Lord, I thank you for using me for your glory, God. Use me for your glory. Thank you for the hope victorious, Father God. Thank you for what you're doing in the midst, God. We thank you for platforms, God. We thank you for more people tuning in, Father. I thank you for your word that's going forth on today, God. Hallelujah. Your word is going forth on today, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. If I will not open up the windows of heaven, pour out a blessing, that there should not be room enough to receive it. God will open up the windows of heaven. Oh, yes, he will. Hallelujah. Open up the windows of heaven, my God. Hallelujah. 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 So there should not be room enough to receive it. I thank you for pouring. I thank you for when you pour, it's a continual pour. God, thank you for your joy that you give. I thank you for your blessing that you give, God. I thank you for our happiness and our kindness. Hallelujah. God, remove the evilness from our hearts, Lord God. Touch that person who's in the bed, who's ailing, who can't get up, God. Touch their body, God. Go before Debbie's mom on today, Green Gardner. Continue to heal like never before, God. Please, Father God, in the name of Jesus, touch Evangelist Catherine on today, Lord God. Touch Evangelist Bella's heart, Father God, for mourning her daughter. God, we thank you. We thank you, and it's in Jesus' name. But most of all, we thank you for your son, Jesus. Down the cross, that we may have everlasting life. You said in thy word, thou shalt confess them with our mouth, the Lord Jesus, and shall believe that you have raised your son Jesus from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. You can always inbox me. If you're not sure of your salvation, I'll walk you through the plan of salvation. You can read Romans 10:9-10. Call me, or not call me, but inbox me, and I'll reach back out to you. I'm just so elated right now, God. I'm just weak in the spirit, but I bless God because of his anointing power. And my daughter has been my technician. I just bless God for you all. Go in peace. Know that God is on your side. Know that you are victorious. Know that you are victorious. Because you are victorious. You are. In Jesus' name, you are victorious. Don't let nobody tell you that you're not, because you are. Hallelujah. God bless you and have a wonderful day. Amen and amen. Amen. Whew.
Oh, my goodness.